Here's check on stories we're following for you on Robin Hood Radio. Coronavirus in our schools. We have an update on almost every local school in the tri-state region where they're planning on opening. In Connecticut, plans for each school district, Region 1 starts September 8th. In school, first day and half day schedule. Fewer kids on buses, with data showing 40-45% will ride and the remainder will be driven by parents. Social distancing and masks are enforced on buses. In Norfolk starts September 2nd in school. School buses will run, but students must wear masks, and the first boarders must go to the rear of the bus to minimize passing other students. Region 6, Litchfield, in school with a phased-in student return. Region 7 starts August 31st with a hybrid system that will operate on a block schedule. In Torrington starts September 8th with a hybrid system. Cohort A, last names A through L, Monday, Tuesday. Cohort B, last names M through Z, Thursday and Friday. The Weebatuck Central School District has updated their reentry plan, which now calls for 100% remote learning to start the year. Visit their website homepage for the latest information. Pine Plains Central Schools, the Board of Education voted to open schools grades pre-K through 12 with a full remote instruction. The only exception will be self-contained special education classes, which will have in-person instruction. Taconic Hills Central School District, the Board of Education made a modification to their 2020-21 school calendar. Note September 8th and 9th are now added as conference days. The first day of school for students will be on September the 10th. Groups in Salisbury had a message to send to the White House, Save Our Post Office, on Saturday. Rallies were held in the morning in front of the Lakeville and Salisbury post offices by those upset with the recent cutbacks made to the U.S. Postal Service by the Postmaster General. Participants shared strong sentiments about the removal of postal boxes in front of post offices and 600 mail sorting machines across the country. Amy Lake, one of the organizers of the local protest who rallied at the Lakeville site, said as soon as word went out on Tuesday about a rally, the response was overwhelming. In a story in this past weekend's edition of the Republican American by Ruth Epstein, the Planning and Zoning Commission in Falls Village approved a special permit application from Better Place Forest for a conservation memory forest at 300 Music Mountain Road. Following a hearing on Thursday last week that had been continued from a few weeks ago because of poor Zoom reception due to a thunderstorm, commissioners convened a meeting at which unanimous approval was given. Better Place's Forest is proposing a forest which will provide families with the opportunity to place the cremations of their loved ones under trees in the 130-acre expanse. Remains will be mixed with native soil and plants. Memorial plaques rather than tombstones will be installed to designate the sites, allowing for a sustainable alternative to cemeteries. Columbia County has reopening plans outlined for their schools. Six school districts across the county have created school reopening protocols. Districts in the county will be requiring masks and that everybody keeps socially distant when possible. Schools will all be screening students and taking their temperature in order to prevent possible spread of COVID-19 throughout the schools. Students who show symptoms or have a temperature over 100 will be isolated until they can be picked up from school. Districts have been working with the Department of Health in New York to create plans in case a student or staff member should test positive for COVID. If an outbreak occurs at the school, the Department of Health would work with the district to determine if it'll have to be closed. Schools will also be working with the board to trace COVID cases that may arise. All students will begin the school year with remote-style learning for the first 2 weeks of the school year, September 14th through the 25th. The district will then begin in-person learning in phases based on grade level for students who opted to learn in person this year. The district asked parents if they wanted their students to participate in either remote or in-person learning for the beginning of the school year. With 3 days, about 70% of parents responded to the survey. About 60% of those respondents had opted for in-person learning. Out of Great Barrington, students with special needs who attend Berkshire Hills Regional School District's three schools will start classes in person September 28th. All students will begin partial in school on October 5th. The plan for the majority of students to start school remotely September 14th is still in effect, say officials, who hold meetings on Thursday with hundreds of parents and teachers. Coronavirus infection measures will be used to inform possible changes by September 21st and September 28th. All Also, mask wearing is required by the entire school community. New COVID-19 rules will go up on the district's website. The committee also approved interscholastic sports within Berkshire County after the state issued guidelines last week. The new dates were fashioned amid concerns about the effects of remote education on special education students, especially those who have high needs. The hybrid plan appears to be a compromise given new guidance by the state that says it's safe to fully reopen schools in Berkshire County, where coronavirus infections are now rare. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont plans to continue the current moratorium on residential evictions through October 1st, though he indicated this will be the last extension. The eviction freeze was due to expire Saturday. Lamont said he's going to keep the temporary prohibition in place through the end of September, citing the high unemployment rate due to COVID-19. What was unclear was whether the announced extension would be accomplished through executive order or legislative action, because the governor's emergency powers lapse in 3 weeks. Randall Craig Flesher, conductor of the Hudson Valley Philharmonic since 1992, has died. He died Wednesday. The cause of death was not available. Chris Silva, executive director of the Bardavon 1869 Opera House in Poughkeepsie, which manages and presents the Philharmonic, said he was the longest-serving conductor of the orchestra. He lived in Los Angeles and flew into the Hudson Valley to conduct the Philharmonic shows. He also served as conductor of the Anchorage Symphony in Alaska and the Youngstown Symphony Orchestra in Ohio. He assumed the role as guest conductor with a wide range of orchestras across the country and around the world, including the Israeli Philharmonic and Boston Pops. This coming year, we'll see new leadership at the nation's largest Center for New Art as the founding director of the Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art closes out 30 years of shaping a visual and performing arts mecca that draws 300,000 people a year, renewing the economic life of his hometown. Joseph Thompson will step down as director October 29th, according to the museum's board, passing control on an interim basis to Tracy Moore, who joined Mass MoCA as a deputy director and chief operating officer last year. For Thompson, the transition after 32 years spent imagining, struggling, and innovating ends what he terms, quote, a pretty good run, end quote. He is credited not only with transforming a former factory complex into an internationally known art destination, which opened in 1999, but in redefining how such a place engages with artists, visitors, and the community. Taking a look at events going on in and around our tri-state region, the Town of Sharon Historic District Commission will hold a meeting that happens tonight at 6 o'clock at Sharon Town Hall, the Chapin Meeting Room. In Salisbury, the Planning and Zoning Commission has a meeting set for tonight at 6:30. Kent Inland and Wetlands Commission has a regular meeting coming up tonight. That will be at 7 o'clock. It is via Zoom. Also tonight, a meeting notice, a virtual meeting in Sheffield for the Conservation Commission. That will be at 7 p.m. The Zoning Board of Appeals will meet in Cornwall tonight at 7 p.m. Sharon Board of Selectmen have their regular meeting. That is tomorrow, in person and via Zoom. More Zoom information is on the Sharon, Connecticut website. On Wednesday, following the protocol of Mass, it's concert time at the Church of St. John in the Wilderness at 5 p.m. Distancing and gathering will limit the performance attendance. It'll be outdoors at the Church of St. John at 5 o'clock Wednesday. The concert will be an hour long. Recommended donation is $15 at the entrance. There'll be guided parking. Rain date for the next day is set for Thursday, though reservations are not required. If you're thinking of coming, they'd appreciate your letting them know to give them a sense of how to set up the chairs. By the way, if you'd like to make a donation, Winds in the Wilderness, make the check payable to that and send it to Winds in the Wilderness, P.O. Box 166, Copaic Falls, New York, 12517. Coming up this week, on Thursday the 27th in Cornwall, the Board of Finance has a meeting at 7 p.m. On Saturday the 29th, Berkshire Bach, Baroque Music in the Berkshires, is got a fundraiser going on at 3 p.m. Orly Champ on the piano. It's at a private home in Hillsdale, New York. More information at their website. Noble Horizons is offering a free four-week CNA assistant training course beginning September 1st. The course meets daily from 8 till 4, including both classroom and clinical work. Students who successfully complete the course, including the final exam, will qualify as a certified nursing assistant and will be guaranteed a job at Noble Horizons. Anybody interested can contact Noble's Director of Nursing, Molly Tanner, at 860-435-9851, extension 128, or mtanner@churchhomes.org for more information. Our business brief is underwritten by Morgans at the Interlaken, interlakenin.com. You'll also find them on Facebook, and by Salisbury Bank, salisburybank.com. The Dow Jones Industrial Average will start off the week at 27,930.33, the NASDAQ at 11,311.80, and the S&P 500 at 3397.16. We'll take a look at the tri-state forecast. That'll come your way in just a few moments.